How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
No, I thought Howie had a great draft. I mean, not only did he get, two of what many people believe to be the top corners.
Welcome back in, everybody, to Tuesday's edition of Birds 365. We are joined now by Scott Grayson from Fox 29. Make sure you follow Scott on Twitter at SGraysonFox29. Scott, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you, Xander. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well, Scott. Where are you? What are you doing? Paint us the picture.
I'm running a bunch of errands, and I didn't quite make it home in time. So
yeah, that's fine.
We'll just do it live from the car.
We'll do it live.
We'll do it live.
Bill O'Reilly it. We'll do it live without the curses. You're nothing to curse about with the Eagles draft, right? We got fifth round picks starting here, Scott. Everybody's getting mad at me for questioning fifth round picks.
No, I thought Howie had a great draft. I mean, not only did he get two of what many people believe to be the top corners, but I thought he addressed some needs and then also banked some draft picks for next year, which is going to be significant as you look forward. So I just think, to me, it was a very good job by Howie. Are there still some holes that need to be filled or some question marks? Absolutely. Every team has them. I thought he did very well. I was very pleased with Howie's draft.
Yeah, yes, and it starts at the top, as you mentioned, with Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean. To get two players like that, and the Eagles are telling the truth, by the way. They had Cooper DeJean as a first round level player, as a lot of people did. Had some issues with the leg injury. But to get those two players at a position of need coming off last season, seemed like a plan. Was it a plan, or was it just the way the board fell? Because we know this team, Scott. We've been around this team for a long time. And this was the deepest offensive tackle draft in the history of mankind. And we're all looking at the Eagles and Howie Roseman and their foundational philosophy. And they went 0 for 24 when it came to offensive linemen in the first 2 days. So through round three, and Howie even admitted, if you would have guessed that, I'd be shocked as the GM of the Eagles. So is this sort of good? Just, hey, the board fell this way, let's take advantage of it, versus we got to fix cornerback.
I think fixed cornerback was clearly the priority. And to me, so was it the plan? I think the plan was to go with a corner in the first round. I think when Cooper fell to them in the second round, they said, we got to take this guy too. And you can see the foundation built there, and they can really lock up, you know, that position going forward in the future. If these guys, and it's the if, pan out, you know, of course you worry about projecting too far into the future, and these guys have to step up and play, but they also have a core group of younger players back there as well from last year, Keely Ringo, those kind of guys. So they definitely have some youth at that position now. I agree with you, John. I mean, if you would have told me that they would not take an offensive lineman in those first few rounds, I would have been shocked, because you're right. That is the philosophy. That seems to be the template, the time that they try to follow. So to me, I was a little surprised by that, but I think it's the way the board fell and how he's saying, and I wonder how much input he had from, you know, Vic Fangio, as well as all the scouts they have there to say, yeah, we cannot pass up on this guy. He's there. We got to take, you know, Cooper DeJean. And I just believe the way the board fell is what dictated what they did this year, which I don't know. I would say that's a little bit of a change in philosophy. With Howie over the years, he used to seem like he was pretty ingrained in what he wanted to do. And here it seemed like they really kind of let the board tell them what they should do.
Yeah, maybe some input from Jeffrey Lurie as well for anybody that watched the unscripted. He was loving the Cooper DeJean trade up in the pick. But Scott, all of a sudden, this defensive back room has become very deep. You mentioned guys like Kelee Ringo, Eli Ricks is back there. Obviously, the two new picks. You got Sidney Brown, Reed Blankenship, C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Whole litany of players now back there. Maybe they're not all don't all pan out to be great players, but where do you see? How do you see it shaking out? Do you think Cooper DeJean is a year one starter? I think maybe that means you're moving on from James Bradberry at the very least. Yeah.
Yeah. I tell you what, I would love to know how uncomfortable James Bradberry may have been watching this draft unfold.
Yeah.
You know, it's obvious they're going to put pressure on him to perform. And if he doesn't perform, they've got guys waiting in the wings who they would be more than happy to get some, you know, some experience, face some live bullets and get all that going. I think they want Bradberry and his veteran experience to succeed and excel. I think Vic Fangio wants him to excel. I think, you know, everybody's looking at that. And we've talked about this on the show before. I know we have John about it was a bad year. It was a bad ending. And he can bounce back. He still has the ability to bounce back. And I'm pushing the Eagles to see that. I would like to see that. Does he bounce back? And if not, man, there's youth ready to go. And there's guys here ready to go and push those guys. And I think even to an extent, you know, Slay knows that his time is winding down and they're starting to, you know, bring in his replacement as well. So, you know, time is running short for those older guys and these younger players are going to push them. How it's going to shake out, how the rotation's going to go, I think they want to begin. Sorry about that. They want to begin with these veteran guys first and give them obviously the opportunity. You got to start Slay. I would like to see Bradberry have the starting spot first and lose it if these guys push him out of the way. So, but what they will do, I you know, there's a lot of time to figure that out.
Yeah,
Scott, I would like that as well because I've said I'm a big James Bradberry guy. I know he had a terrible year, but I probably told you, and I say it on the show all the time, I think with Vic Fangio using him correctly, I think he'll have a bounce back year. I also think that's not possible now that they drafted Quinyon Mitchell. I think in a different era, maybe you could be patient, but in this society we live in now, they picked him 22nd overall. He's got to start. And if James Bradberry is not going to be a starter, he can't be a backup because he's not going to play special teams, yada, yada, yada. So I think his fate is already set. And unfortunately, now the Eagles may go even into training camp, hoping there's an injury somewhere else. Maybe somebody gets desperate, trades something for him. But I don't think there's any way James Bradberry's on this team week one. Do you think the Eagles could be patient and disciplined enough and say, all right, let's let Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean sit and learn?
I guess the way I see it playing out, John, is I'm not expecting them to get rid of Bradberry quickly. I expect that they'll go. My thought would be that they would go into camp and let Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean really try to push Bradberry out of the way. And that's how I expect it to go. By week one, I agree with you. You draft a guy that high, he's got to play. This day and age in the NFL, first round picks have to play. So I expect that the Eagles are going to try to maybe do some of that, let him push Bradberry out of the way and ultimately have the job week one, which I think would be the case. You're right about injuries. I mean, they have a valuable veteran, valuable maybe overstating it right now coming off the year he had, but a veteran corner that if there is an injury somewhere on someone who thinks they might be a contender or have a chance, that would make a call and say, what would you be willing to give Bradberry for? And to me, that's why you hold on to him. You don't gain anything. We've talked about this. I mean, there's no reason really to let him go and walk now or even after June 1st. You're going to face the salary cap hit that you got. I hold on to him. He's a commodity right now. He's obviously a veteran who can, if you know, I'm sure he's not going to be looking to teach these younger guys to take his job, but you can watch him. You can learn some things from watching him work that maybe, you know, these younger players can take from that. But I agree with you, John, that you got to start a first round pick. Otherwise, what did you get him for?
Yeah. And then if they go into the season with Bradberry, Slay, Blankenship, because Sidney Brown's hurt, and then it's basically the same secondary plus CJ GJ. So I don't think that's enough when you have.
Well, that's still an upgrade, by the way.
That's still an upgrade, but is that enough to move the needle to what we're looking to move the needle to? Well, I don't know if that is.
You know, part of the debate that you can have that I know we've done on here as well is there were so many things going on in the second half of that season during the collapse. I really believe lack of communication and consistent communication, as well as the defensive coordinator change, led to all kinds of collapsing issues in that secondary that led to big plays. Bad tackles, of course, is that's on the players. But I think there's a lot of things that with consistency in camp and these guys being healthy, I just expect all of that to be much better here to start the season. There may not be a whole lot of changes, but CJ GJ back there is definitely, in my opinion, an improvement and an upgrade. And he's got familiarity here. The guys already have kind of been familiar with him from when he was here before. And then you add in these younger players. I like the mix of guys with veteran experience.
I love Ringo. I probably told you that. I think he's a great prospect. I really do. And he's kind of forgotten now because you draft.
I know.
Yeah.
And you got Isaiah Rodgers. You've got Avante Maddox. I mean, this secondary is really deep. There's guys looking around here that are very talented that may not make the final roster. It's crazy.
Yeah. John pointed that out. The Eagles are going to cut somebody from the defensive back that's going to be starting or contributing on an NFL roster in the league. But yeah, I think
not starting, but contributing.
Contributing. Yeah. I think an interesting point you brought up, Scott, about the communication on defense. Vic Fangio relies a lot on that in his defense. I wonder how much of a hurdle that's going to be for the young guys, and that's maybe an advantage to keeping a guy like Bradbury around for a longer period of time to help acclimate the young guys who are learning the defense, learning the playbook, learning all those things, and then you get in games and you have to communicate it to everybody. That's a hard part of it.
Well, we all, I think, as reporters too, sometimes get caught up in asking these guys that are young, but it's really a good point, is about the speed of the game, adjusting to the speed of the game. And you'll hear some players talk about they've got to stop thinking out there. They just have to react and trust what they see. That's the biggest challenge for all these young guys, is to just to learn what Vic Fangio is trying to teach them, understand the communication terminology, and then react, not think once the ball is snapped. And that's the biggest thing I think these young guys have to get through, which training camp is going to be perfect for, and the mini camps in the summer. And it's already begun with the rookie mini camps. You know, I'm sure that's all already being ingrained in these guys to get through and be ready to go. Communication, obviously. I just feel like, and we talked about this too, John, again, it's just, I don't feel like these guys trusted where somebody was going to be behind them.
No.
And especially in that zone coverage, they didn't seem to understand where one zone ended and another began. And it just led to getting picked apart.
But that's going to continue, Scott. That's my biggest concern with young cornerbacks in this particular defense, because you saw it in the Super Bowl. I mean, when there's blown coverages in big spots, people lost their minds, and Slay goes from six-time Pro Bowl cornerback to, he's garbage. And, you know, the minute Quinyon Mitchell, it might not even be his fault, but you know how it works. And if he's chasing a wide receiver wide open because maybe the safety blew the coverage, all of a sudden it becomes a narrative that Quinyon Mitchell got cooked and he's not ready. And this football passionate town, I know the Eagles can't worry about stuff like that, but do you worry about stuff like that? Because you got to have confidence to play cornerback in the NFL.
Yeah, you do. I don't think I worry too much about that, but it is part of it. And you're right. I mean, the person who gets blamed is the guy who's closest in coverage, and it may not be his. And many times it's not his fault.
Especially in this defense.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's a great point. And that's where I think, you know, some of the veterans have to be there for those younger guys when things like that happen. And you know, it's one of the things every player has to learn when they come to this city and you play in this town, is you got to be able to learn to block out the noise. And it's easier for some guys. It's harder for others. Veterans still struggle with that. I mean, we look at AJ Brown. He's deleting social media. He's back on. He's off. He's on. He's, you know, it's a tough thing for these players this day and age to have to navigate. And for a young kid, 21 years, 22 years old, you know, suddenly thrust into this kind of spotlight in this town where the expectations are through the roof coming into this season. I mean, Yeah, that could be an issue. It can be. It's a matter of knowing. And, you know, I think the thing is that these guys have to know it wasn't your fault, you know. And if you know that and you believe it, then you can block out some of that criticism and noise that comes from outside the building. I think they do have a good support system, the culture there in the NovaCare complex to be able to help these guys through that.
Scott, let's stay on the defensive side of the ball, but I want to go to the linebacker position. They draft Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Still haven't addressed the position other than that much. They got Oren Burks. They have a couple, you know, they have Zach Bond. But what do you think of the linebacker position? Will they do more there? Howie always says, look, talent acquisition season isn't over after the draft. Maybe they'll make a move there, but they haven't bolstered the position much. What do you think of the linebacker position?
Yeah, it's every year, right? This is what we say. It's linebacker. It's linebacker. Yeah. It's the linebacker. Hey, so to me, it screams Howie watching the waiver wires as they go through camp and looking for guys that maybe don't fit or make a team that he brings in. I wouldn't expect a lot of changes this summer to that position, but once you get into training camp and once you start making some cuts, I fully expect him to be looking to see if there's a diamond in the rough or a guy who gets let go somewhere that they can add here at that position. But, you know, overall on defense, I'm not sure how you guys feel. I feel like that they are taking the approach of, as a team, we are going to outscore our opponents, and that is how we are going to win games. We have built up this offense to be elite. With Kellen Moore running it, they're expecting all kinds of points. And I think they're looking at this defense going, we don't need you to pitch shutouts. We don't even need you to hold an opponent to 10. But if you can hold them to 20 or less, we're going to win every game. And so I just see the approach on defense here. You're expecting a lot out of Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter. You're expecting a lot out of some of these edge rushers here.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GUNDRYMD.com/energy.
You've got, you're expecting Nolan Smith to make a big step forward here in the second year. And I think these are a lot of places where you have to stop and say, wait a minute, are these guys going to live up to the expectations that I think this organization is setting for them? And that's going to be a big key on that defense.
Yeah, but I think the expectations are much lower on defense. Like I've said pretty consistently that I think the Eagles are going to be a top half of the NFL defense, 15, 16, somewhere in that range, which is a tremendous upgrade over last season. And I think because Big's going to teach it better and guys are going to be in better spots. And I said the same thing about Brian Flores coming in last year with less talent, and he ended up 13th. I think the same thing is going to happen here with Vic Fangio. It's just going to be better. It's not going to be great, but it's going to be better. Offensively, it's a whole different world, Scott, as you mentioned. This offense, they got to be great. Mm-hmm. They were number 8 in the NFL last season. Everybody thinks they stunk. It was terrible. It was awful. That is the expectation Kellen Moore is walking into. You got the best offense in football. You got A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, still a top 5 offensive line. Now you got Saquon Barkley, generational talent. If I hear that, I'm going to shoot myself in the head. What is not – they can't even have hiccups. This has got to be great. Is that possible?
Yeah, that's where you talked about expectations and stuff and criticism of young players and stuff like that. What about the offense? If the offense comes out in week one down there in Brazil and only manages like 10 points, forget it. I mean, this place is going to lose it. You talk about, I think the pressure is squarely on the offense. Pressure squarely on Kellen Moore.
Jalen Hurts.
On Jalen Hurts. It's on Saquon. It's on all of them, really. And lost in the shuffle is Dallas Goedert, but okay. You know, one thing that they haven't really addressed, backup tight end. We all know Dallas Goedert can get banged up, does tend to get banged up and miss a game or two or three. What are you doing at that? Because that is a big position. I think in this offense, in a place where Dallas Goedert to me could end up having a big year. If you've got to cover all these other guys, he's the one guy I think you could end up finding, open routinely over the middle of the field. This offense is certainly going out there. Everybody's looking at it. Well, everybody looked at the Niners. You got Christian McCaffrey and all that. And now all we hear, and I think rightfully so, you look at it and that this offense should be explosive. And the question is, will they? And how will Kellen Moore use these guys? It's one of the things I'm most looking forward to seeing in these first few games is trying to get that philosophy and what he's trying to accomplish week in and week out with the talent he's got, there. It should be a lot of fun to watch.
And by the way, don't get me wrong. I don't think there's any way the Eagles can have a bad offense. But if they have a top 10 offense that's 8 or 9 or 10,
I would say that's
not acceptable.
That's where it gets tricky, because it's a lot easier to improve a defense from 30th to 20th and show growth than improve an 8th-ranked offense to try and crack the top 5. And you got offenses like the Niners, the Chiefs, the Bengals, the teams that are, high-powered. So there's a lot of pressure on the offense, and it's a harder climb for them, even with the addition of Saquon Barkley. And I think it's being underrated that we lost Jason Kelce. How much bigger of a role than is there that more than meets the eye than what Kelce was doing for that offense, calling out blitzes, managing the offensive line, stuff like that? I can't help but think about that as well.
Well, it's certainly something you have to keep an eye on and see how this line evolves with Kelce not part of it. And I've brought this up. I'm really curious to see just how big of a factor Kelce was on the tush push. Because I really think he set the tone under that pile to clear a little bit of a path for somebody to go a half a yard. Right. And so that'll be curious to see as well. And if that's, how involved that is in this offense and what they try to do. But there's no doubt that offensive line is certainly the key to getting everything started. If Jalen doesn't have time to throw. And we've seen it in the past. If he doesn't trust that line or the blocking, those eyes are not staying downfield and everything starts to fall apart. You know, he was taught, they kept saying about how they would teach him pretty much to look at one half of the field. Well, you can't ignore the other half of the field if there's a guy wide open over there. And we saw on a lot of, you know, all 22 replays and stuff that there were guys that just weren't seen. And I think some of that was a combination of not trusting the blocking in front of him, or that the running back would pick up the blitz coming to know that he could stand in an extra second and throw that ball. Those are all things that Jalen has to develop more. But I will say a difference this.
Oh, Scott froze up for a second. And he's in the car. That's understandable. You know, to his point about.
I think he'll be back if I give him a second.
To his point about the progressions, I know that's frustrating. That's part of the modern game. I'm going to defend Jalen Hurts because you get some Yahoo. You know. I mean, that the progression is the progression on a certain play call, and it might be on the right side, and it might go high, low, whatever, and then you come over to the third progression. You might not even get to that. He might be off it at some point, and then somebody will take a screenshot from the other side of the field.
Yeah, right.
So-and-so will be wide open. But by the way, the defense understands by that point where the progression is, and they're moving away because they understand it's going to be a while before he gets back to this. That could factor into it as well. So that kind of stuff. He's not an owl. Yeah, you can't turn your head around and immediately look to the other side of the field when the progression is where the progression is. And that's every quarterback, not just Jalen Hurts. So I think that part's overrated. I think with Jalen, we don't talk a lot about Jalen because there's so many other issues. And I think people now understand he's a good quarterback. It's just a matter of how good, and you want to get him back to that 2022 level. And we'll see if that happens. I think a lot of it is just clean up the turnover issues. I don't see much difference between 2022 and 2023 other than the turnovers, to be honest.
Let's get Scott Grayson back in here. I think he's joined us back. Let me give him a second. Nope.
So yeah, we'll see. But
I agree, but I do think there is some things that Jalen can improve upon.
Well, everybody can
improve. Yeah, I'm sure I know that. But I mean you see a lot of needs to read the blitzes better, stuff like that. And I do think that comes with time, and that comes with being a veteran in the league. But when you're getting paid the kind of money you're getting paid, you're going to be expected to do all those things.
Oh, sure.
And how much will that change, John, without Kelsey? I mean, you lose a guy like Kelsey that's seen
NFL. I'll tell you where the tush push, I'll tell you, Kelsey used to steal a half yard.
Yeah,
and he would get away with stuff. Do you think
the tush push is gone this year?
No. Not at the start, if they're not effective.
I'm not talking about from a rule standpoint. I'm talking about from the Eagles' ability to be.
No, I know. If they're ineffective, they'll shelve it. If they're effective, they'll keep using it. That the one part about Kelsey, he really did get deference because of his veteran stature and his reputation that they will no longer have. And there's no more fudging with the football to get that extra 18 inches.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's going to be but the far bigger aspect, because I've always said the tush push to me, and we can bring Scott. I think Scott, the tush push to me is the most overrated thing in football, because the Eagles were phenomenal on sneaks with Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts, traditional quarterback sneaks. They were great at it anyway. So it just became a thing. And I think it effed with other people's mentality more than anything else. They were going to be, in fact, I argued, Scott probably argued with you. Welcome back. I argued they should ban it because the Eagles are going to be successful anyway. So what do they care? And let these other teams worry about it. But where I changed is those other teams weren't successful running the tush push. They were like a disaster doing it. So, you know, it worked out for the Eagles either way. But they were great. You remember, Scott, quarterback sneaks with Carson Wentz. They were unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, that goes to back to the point of, so was it Wentz or was it Kelsey? And, you know, you got to, all the success you're talking about, there's one consistent variable there, and that is Jason Kelsey. And yeah, he was off the line. His, you know, he found a way to take his smaller stature, right? He was always said as to be undersized and all this stuff. He was lower to the ground, and lower, so much of blocking and all leverage, that stuff is center of gravity and leverage. Yeah, and he found a way to use it to his advantage. And the Eagles were able to take advantage of that too, like you said, with Carson Wentz. Wentz did it more with his length, being able to reach across. Jalen Hurts, obviously, with his legs and his strength to drive, I think is part of the success as well. So, you know, yeah, I agree with you, John, and you're right about the one thing where other teams weren't able to be successful doing it. I think that's the sole reason, if you listen to Troy Vincent talk, why they left it in the game, because other teams weren't able to repeat it.
Yeah. I remember, who was the guy, the little receiver? They're using, they're using this tiny Brandon. It was Brandon Powell. They're using, he's like 185 pounds to push for the, I'm like, what? You got to have somebody like, you know, Dallas Goedert, or this year it would be Saquon Barkley and his 9 million squat Saquad. You don't use 185 pounds soak. That's like Devontae Smith doing the push.
Right. Yeah.
These teams are nuts. But anyway, we got on a tangent.
I just want to say, you know what? You know, all these guys who want to sound like geniuses, right? Or seem like it. I want to see some sort of a variation off of it, that like a pass play off of it. You know,
well, the Eagles have done that on occasion.
Yeah. Not a lot, but yes.
Not a lot. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's definitely things that you can do to evolve that play. To just be able to get out on the perimeter. I mean, or force teams to have to leave a couple guys out there.
Yeah, right. Force teams to not be able to just stack the box and crush it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or grab Jalen by the face mask.
Yeah.
But Jalen, that's when you froze up a little bit. That's where we're talking about Jalen and getting back to his level of 2022 versus 2023. In a lot of ways, this is simplifying, but I really think it just comes down to they took care of the football better in 2022. I think if you take away the turnovers, they were third in offense in 2022. They were eighth last year. They probably go from eighth to about third if you take away those turnovers. I don't think there was much difference. I really don't.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
The turnovers really were the problem last year, you know, so much. And where they occurred on the field was a problem as well. I mean, a lot of times they gave an opponent a short field, or they took points off the board for themselves because they were driving. And yeah, you can't have that. That's one of the, and we see it in the auditorium, right? It's at the top about, you know, takeaways and protecting the football. And they did not do that well last year, either way.
And they knew they do need, and at S Grayson Fox 29, make sure you follow Scott on Twitter. Thank you for stopping your errands for us this morning. But I do think the one thing the Eagles really need to work on, and the reason Kellen Moore is here, they got too caught up in the big play mentality. I think Kansas City went through this with the shift from Tyreek Hill to non-Tyreek Hill. They didn't have that explosive nature. And if you remember, Patrick Mahomes, he got a little frustrated at times trying to push the football down the field. And then he adjusted, and the rest is history, obviously. But I think the Eagles need that adjustment. It can't always be just go for the big play.
Yeah. Tom Brady's got seven Super Bowls. He took a lot of what the defense gave him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And yards after the catch, you know, those kind of shorter passes that go for longer yardage because guys are able to add to it. You know, AJ Brown can do the yak.
He's one of the best in the league at the yak. Yep.
Right. Yeah. And Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert usually, you know, one of the things with Zach Ertz was he would go down pretty quickly after the catch. Dallas Goedert can add on some yards after the catch. So I think you're right. I mean, it would be not, shorter completions is not a bad thing. It can go for big plays still.
Yep, I agree. Scott Grayson, thanks for joining us. Make sure you read all Scott Grayson's work. Follow him on Fox 29 and follow him on his Twitter at @sgraysonfox29. Scott, thanks for joining the show, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thanks, bud.
And Scotty Grayson, good stuff from Scott Grayson, as always. Me and John will come back. We'll put a bow on the show. I want to give a programming update to all of our viewers in the chat box. There will be no national football show today. Dan is picking up his daughter from college. She graduated college. So Dan picking up his daughter, there will be no national football show today. So for those of you who are waiting for Dan's show later in the day, he will not be back. He will not be on today. He will be back tomorrow. Me and John will come back. We'll put a bow on Birds 365. We'll wrap up this Tuesday, May 7th edition. Already May, Johnny Mac. It feels like the season just ended. It's May.
Yeah, man. The NFL's good with the calendar. I say yes, it all the time. They are.
So we'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this show. We'll kick around one thing. One thing that Ed Kratz said that really stuck out to me. I'll kick that off, John, see what he thinks. And we'll close up this Tuesday edition of Birds 365.
If you missed any of today's show on the Jacob Media channel, listen to the podcast on your way home. Available on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify.